superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
It's our last show, but I'll still be here, and WPR's director joins us to talk about our two new networks.
Keep doing what you're doing, Robin. We are going to have those be more like segments.
Plus, you know his theme song, but he's got 2,000 other tunes.
You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold, dead hands.
We'll hear more of the music of Bruce Nelson and a review of the top five news items during our show's five-year run.
With my full of lawn care equipment, I will take my stand. 'Cause it's lawn care stuff that made this country free.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Over the past month, you've heard our announcements that Wisconsin Public Radio is changing. On Monday, May 20th, our two new networks will launch, WPR News and WPR Music, and with them, the lineup of many of our shows. That includes this one, and this edition of Simply Superior is our last. But it's not the last you'll hear from me. I'll be presenting the same coverage in our area twice a week as part of our new morning edition show. Here to tell us more about the changes is WPR's director, Sarah Ashworth. She's fairly new in the role, coming to us last year from Vermont Public Radio and our neighbors at Minnesota Public Radio before that. And her work is cut out for her, or more importantly, for you. Welcome to Simply Superior, Sarah.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me on.
So before we get to the programming discussion, tell us a little about yourself. I did get that abbreviated bio right, I hope.
Yeah, no, I grew up in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area, and I have a lot of family still in Minnesota and in Wisconsin as well. And then I went to college in Missouri, and I heard about public radio at a station there. I went to school for journalism and got interested in reporting for public radio. So that was about 25 years or so ago. And so once I started reporting for public radio, I just found something that clicked for me, and I thought I want to listen all the time to public radio, and then I also would like to contribute in some way. So I've really had a number of different newsroom and content focused roles. As you mentioned, I was last at Vermont Public, where I was the senior vice president of content, overseeing our local content for radio and television. But I've worked at DeSoto Minnesota Public Radio as a morning edition producer and as an editor. I worked at a station in Missouri. I was at New Hampshire Public Radio as the news director for a little while. And then I worked as a talk show producer on the Diane Rehm Show in Washington, D.C., which was a show that NPR distributed nationally. Mm-hmm. So I am thrilled, though, to be in Wisconsin now, where my family has moved here. We're in the Madison area. And to step into WPR's long, long history, you know, since 1917, and help guide the organization right now.
Mm-hmm. As you just said, you're based in Madison now, but you've traveled around the state. You're traveling as I speak with you right now.
Yes, I'm in La Crosse this morning.
And you have every intention of retiring someday in our beautiful area, right?
Oh, yes, yes. This is Wisconsin, you know, the beauty of the state. I forgot a little bit. As I've been traveling around the state, there are moments where I just look at some of the hills and the trees and the landscape and the lakes and think, we are so lucky to live in such a beautiful place.
We are. Let's just end it right there. So, well, the network changes will be here Monday. They've been in the works before you got here. So tell us a little bit about the reasoning behind them and how people, as you've traveled around, have responded.
Yeah. So as a statewide network, we have signals. We have 38 stations all over the state. The stations that you pick up depends on where you live. So it has depended on the availability of the stations in some of the reaction around the state. In Superior, we have, you know, good coverage of the news and the music networks. And I know you also have really strong coverage for Minnesota Public Radio as well. So you have a rich area of public radio listening up around Superior. And in most parts of the state, we're able to offer our two new networks, which we're calling WPR News and WPR Music. And what we're doing is putting all of our news and talk content on one network and all of our music content on another. So in the past, we've sort of had talk shows over on the Ideas Network, and then we've had news and music together as a dual format station on another. And I think the changes really came from recognizing that Our broadcast listening numbers have been going down, and it's harder and harder to find people, to get people to stick with listening over the air. And we wanted to remove as many barriers as we could to listening. And one thing we heard through audience-focused research, through surveys that we did, through looking at the experiences of other stations across the country, is that single format stations are easier to keep listening to, and that they just make sense for people. So if you want to listen to news and talk, you can pick one station and stick with it. Or if you'd like to listen to music, you can pick that station and stick with it. And that you always know what will be on the air on one of those stations, that you're not trying to guess or look at the clock. Is this a music time or a news time? So we wanted to create an easier and more straightforward listening experience for our audience. So that really led to the development of these two networks. And it's in line with, for example, Minnesota Public Radio, you know, has networks sort of that are single format. As I said, many stations across the country did. So we had a lot of great examples to look to. So it started with that. And then we can, you know, continue to also look at our regional service and make sure that we have strong staffing and programs in our regions. So that's another piece of the work we're doing. And then we're also making sure that our digital platforms are strong, so that, for example, our website, WPR.org, we revamped in January, actually. So it's got a whole new look. It's lighter and brighter and easier, I think, to navigate. The articles are easier to read. The streaming is a better experience. So if you're listening to online audio, which is another sort of data point in our decision making, that even as broadcast listening declines, online audio listening increases. So we know more and more people are finding us through the website or smart speaker or the app, or just listening on a website on their phone, perhaps too. And so making it really an easier, more pleasant experience to listen to us as online audio too. So that's another piece of the changes that we've been doing as part of this work.
We're speaking with Sarah Ashworth. She's the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the changes to the entire WPR system taking place on Monday with two new networks, WPR News and WPR Music. You gave us the logic behind them. Tell us a little more of what they'll sound like. You know, I should probably share this anecdote about Simply Superior, because it's kind of funny. This was not planned, I think. Our 10 o'clock broadcast on our, now you're putting me on the spot here, on the Ideas Network.
Yes.
Would run after 1A. And so that was kind of similar programming, you know, news issues. And then it would go into Larry Mueller. Well, on Fridays, Larry was talking about gardening, and we usually weren't. So that was kind of a hard segue. Then it went to Chapter a Day, and that was a real hard segue. And on the other hand, our Friday evening broadcast on the NPR News and Music Network was preceded by Fresh Air, and then went to us, and that sounded kind of a good segue. Particularly, we would usually have our issue first and then our music segment, and made a wonderful segue to Jazz at Lincoln Center. And in fact, if we had jazz on, it was like you didn't notice a difference. And then that went to jazz. As I said, neither of those were necessarily planned. So given, you know, those entirely two different ways of looking at it, I think I'm sort of answering the question. I think we're going more toward the second version, right, where things flow a little bit more and they're right. more, they're grouped more congruently.
Right. And that's, yeah, I think so that if you have an expectation of that you're going to be listening to newsy talk programming, that's what we deliver on that network, and it doesn't jump over to jazz or it doesn't jump to classical at one point. I'm really excited about, so we'll have Morning Edition on our news network, where we have our largest audience. And then flowing out of Morning Edition at 9 o'clock will be a new local show that we're doing called Wisconsin Today, that brings together two of the hosts we've had, Rob Ferret and Kate Archer Kent, who will do a Wisconsin focused show. It'll be a magazine style show. And I think it'll flow for listeners, as you're talking about just the experience of listening and sometimes how jarring it is to jump between different types of programs. This should flow really nicely out of Morning Edition, which does have local news throughout it, but has great national and international news. And then just, you know, being a place where listeners can continue to listen at 9 o'clock in the morning through to Wisconsin Today. And then As you said, 1A and Larry Mueller will expand by half an hour now to 2 hours a day. So from 11 to 1, the Larry Mueller show will be on the news network. And then we'll flow into On Point and The World and then into All Things Considered. So you've got that. I think it's a stronger audience experience just as a listener to sort of stick with news flowing between national, international, local, and sort of back then to All Things Considered, that really provides analysis and recaps the day. And then on the music network, you'll have 13 hours of locally hosted classical music from hosts from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. We're hiring a new evening classics host who will be in Milwaukee, who will join the network. And so we'll have these 13 hours to play music and to talk about music and arts that are happening across Wisconsin as well. Our hope is to feature some local performances and talk about local performers and share some of their stories as well. And then at work, and we'll have so much more time to do that because it isn't squeezed between news and the programming any longer.
You mentioned the morning edition broadcast, and that's where our, well, my work will be morphing into, right? On Simply Superior. I want to make sure I got the memo right. What am I doing?
You are doing, keep doing what you're doing, Robin,
Okay.
essentially. Yeah, but we are going to have those be more like segments. So rather than the hour long, we'll have segments in Morning Edition. And what's great about that is, as I was saying, that is our largest audience by far on Morning Edition. So I'm hoping that more people in the Superior region hear the work that you're doing and that you bring to WPR, which is so valuable and just connects people to their hometown and the place that they live. And these segments will only be heard in the regions where they're broadcast. So that also allows for just really localized segments. So Danielle Kading, for example, is a wonderful reporter based in Superior, and she does environmental reporting as well and great stories out of the Northwest region. She's also, those reporting, the reporting she does goes to a statewide audience and feeds, a whole statewide service. So it elevates stories out of the Northwest. But I think in the segments that you're doing, what is so valuable is they are really tailored to the community that's there. And, you can build on guests that you've had in the past, knowledge that people in the Northwest part of the state have. Talk about events or, art events or musicians who are performing in that part of the state. You can really localize it much more and talk about specific things happening in that region.
Drilling down even deeper, our listeners to 91.3 KUWS will be getting somewhat different programming part of the day, roughly from 7 p.m. to midnight, as part of our long-standing partnership with University of Wisconsin-Superior. That means continuing and enhancing its student programming, the Dean's List and 91 Jazz Street and Yellow Jacket Sports, correct?
Yes, that relationship continues. During the day from WPR, you will hear the WPR Music Network, and then we'll transition into student programming, as you said, at 7 o'clock each night. That continues. We've had some really great conversations about how to have that partnership be even stronger. It's been nice to visit Superior a little bit and talk with people on campus. And yes, that remains in place.
Right, I should say, yeah, continues and enhances because we're looking to more student, well, new programming, new that the students would
Yeah, I
be
think there's a lot of
hosting, right?
opportunity. And I love seeing students get excited by public radio. So,
Right.
yes.
Well, lastly, we've had many business segments on this show, and one point that frequently comes up is every business's new product line or innovation or just a startup should be evaluated and reevaluated sometime after it rolls out, usually in the first year, certainly by 3 years. What's your time period for gauging what works and what doesn't in our changes here, and what do we do then?
No, that's a good question. I think, one of the things that I've learned in the last few years is that you really cannot make a 5-year plan anymore, or even a 3-year plan. I think COVID taught us that a lot as well, too, and going through that experience, being ready to make quick changes and to pivot to what's needed from audiences in a community. So I think really strong assessments after a year. I will also say that we are launching, especially for the music network, a new network that we have not done before. And it will take time to build audience. So I also recognize that building audience is a really long prospect, and to make sure that we're thinking about that as long-term growth and that we're bringing younger generations into who our listeners are. And that all takes a lot of time. You know, audience-focused research was a big part of shaping these plans. We'll continue to do that. I'm hoping we're planning right now to do another audience research project this year and continuing to take in that feedback. And so for listeners, as you respond to programs, things you like, things you would like to see develop, we read all of those messages and take all of those in. So that's really important feedback that continues. And then, for example, our program directors, we have one for the news network and one for music. Programming networks is a constant evolution. We often make some programming changes every year. They might be small, it might be one show, or it might be a shift in some way of a time, for example. But programming changes happen fairly often in small ways, sort of not this big network realignment. This is something that we won't do every year. Sort of, you know, we've got our network set up. This is a big project. But in terms of programming, your feedback matters so much. And so we have an audience services team that takes that feedback in. We have emails. We respond to everyone that comes in as well. So I think in terms of like making sure that we're meeting our community's needs, that's something that is continually assessing. And then I'd love to see us think about what do we realistically expect to be our broadcast audience over the next couple of years? And what do we hope for in growth and people who are streaming or going to our website? I think those are really key indicators that we'll want to just set more goals around and recognize that it will take some time to develop audience for. We've made some big changes. You know, my habits as a listener will change now. And so we recognize there's a period of adjustment for those changes that we expect to see. And then how can we grow from there? So yes, but I think planning too far out when things happen so rapidly right now and advances in technology happen so quickly, you really can't get too far out. You need to be able to evolve and respond quickly to changes that happen, I think, as a media organization today.
All right. Well, we'll have you back in a year. No, not that long.
I would love it.
You're on the road right anytime, now. Just drive in and come back up to us.
Yeah, I will. I had a really nice visit up in Superior a couple of weeks ago. It was lovely.
All right. We've been speaking with Sarah Ashworth. She's the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the changes coming Monday with our two new networks, WPR News and WPR Music. Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you, Robin. And I just want to add thank you, Robin, for all the work you've done as the host of Simply Superior and creating that program each week. And it's been so valuable to WPR. And I can't wait to listen to your new segments in Morning Edition.
Coming up, you certainly know his hit theme song for this show. Bruce Nelson shares more from his 2000 tune repertoire.
Who will care for those who are broken? Who will help those left behind? Who will find the words unspoken to
Simply Superior news and issues from a superior point of view. Gathered to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. As I've said numerous times, that's not me singing our theme song, although a lot of you have asked if it is, and sometimes people even hum it to me when I walk into a room. The real composer and performer is Bruce Nelson of Solon Springs, and the jingle has followed him around as much as it has me. So it's only fitting to hear from his creator on our final show. Welcome to Simply Superior, Bruce Nelson.
Hey, it's so nice to be here, Robin. Thanks so much for inviting me.
So I think we created a hit. Yours was the winning entry, to review how we got to this, in a song contest we had when we renamed the show almost 5 years ago. Has it been indeed following you around ever since?
kind of humorously. So there have been events that I've been at where I began to speak, or especially if I've sung for something, and people will come up and go, "You're the Simply Superior guy." I think that's great.
You know, actually, it occurred to me, we've never appeared, we've met each other in person, but we've never appeared in person, so we could cause some cognitive dissonance where they could argue over which one of us is a simply superior guy.
Yes. Well, I'd be fine with you being superior and me being at least a close facsimile thereof.
I'll think I'll be the simple one. So, well, this is only your second most popular song, if it's that. I think you told us before you had one that went viral on YouTube that was rather political. And you've got 34,000 subscribers and 5.5 million views on YouTube, which is definitely more than just Simply Superior. Plus, you've written at least a song a day, and you've got 2,000 total. So I understand you're retired.
Yeah, that's when I really began writing one a day. I had always kind of wondered if that was an easy goal to meet if I were not doing other things. So now it's become I refer to it as mind dessert at the end of the day. Because I love lyric writing. So I usually have really busy days doing other things. And at the end of the day, then when I'm kind of unwinding, some people do it with some type of beverage or something. I do it with my computer and writing lyrics.
Mm-hmm. And what was that song, the political one, that really took off?
I had one called Moscow Mitch that was about 500,000 views, but I've had a couple others since then that have done similarly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember the names of them. I can get a readout. I have quite a few that are like the 250,000 mark. So there are some ones that just get really big. You know, there are some that you'll get a few hundred views, but other ones really take off. So, but I can never guess which ones are going to be the ones that are popular.
No.
There are ones that I think, well, this one just filled in my song a day, and then it'll suddenly I'll look the next day and it's got like 17,000 views. And there are ones that I think this is going to be a really good one. And I'll look the next day and there are 300 views. And so
right.
It's hard to know.
Well, going back to the theme about our theme, we didn't expect it to have the life that it has too. So your biggest hit, the Moscow Mitch, may be a little too political for our nonpartisan airways, but we're not complete wallflowers on this front. You've got one that's a little milder, maybe political. You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold dead hands. Can you tell us what that's about?
It's about lawn care.
Very political, yes.
I wrote it kind of in reaction to the you can pry my gun from my cold dead hands, because not really being a gun guy, I mean, I've had them. I grew up on a farm, so we had them around all the time, but I never found a deep bond with them of any type. And I was more of the lawn care guy because I've had years where my last place, it would take me about 6 hours on a rider to do my lawn. It was just massive. So I decided, well, gee, maybe I should make a bold statement about how I felt about my mower and my trimmer. So I just had fun with that. Just, like I said, it was kind of personal, but meant to signify more, of course.
All right. Well, here is You Can Pry My Lawn Care Equipment from My Cold Dead Hands by Brutus Nelson.
You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold dead hands, 'cause that's the only way you'll take it away from me. With my shed full of lawn care equipment, I will take my stand, 'cause it's lawn care stuff that made this country free. Riding your own tractor is a quintessential factor when it comes to keeping communists at bay. As I trim my border, I'm upholding law and order, and some weed and feed ensures that order stays. You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold, dead hands. 'Cause that's the only way you'll take it away from me. With my shed full of lawn care equipment, I will take my stand. 'Cause it's lawn care stuff that made this country free. Dumping fertilizer proves America is wiser when it comes to making sure your lawn stays green. Using a string trimmer helps to keep the chances slimmer that some foreigners might infiltrate our team. You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold, dead hands, 'cause that's the only way you'll take it away from me. With my shed full of lawn care equipment, I will take my stand. 'Cause it's lawn care stuff that made this country free. A good self-mulching mower, up north a fine snow blower, are just basics you invest in for your yard. Socialists all want 'em, so Americans should flaunt 'em just to show with lawn care we don't work too hard. You can pry my lawn care equipment from my cold, dead hands, 'cause that's the only way you'll take it away from me. With my shed full of lawn care equipment, I will take my stand. 'Cause it's lawn care stuff that made this country free.
And that was You Can Pry My Lawn Care Equipment from My Cold Dead Hands by Bruce Nelson of Solon Springs. He's most famous on our show as the creator of our theme song. Most of your songs are, as we said, political satire or just humorous, but did I hear a serious side of you in one that you sent us, Who Will Care for Those Who Are Broken?
Yeah, that one was very personal because initially it was, I was inspired to write it because of what was going on in Ukraine and then what was happening with Israel and Palestine, what was going on in Gaza. It just seemed that there were so many of these horrible events taking place in a relatively short time. But I thought about the children in these cases, having worked in Russia for a long time. I've very closely watched what was going on in Ukraine, and I spent a fair bit of time in Ukraine. Actually, I even one time knew the British ambassador to Ukraine. So I've traveled. I've been in Kiev. I've been in Kharkiv, which has been huge sections bombed away. I've been down to the Crimea a few times. So I began to think about what it's like for the poor kids and families that are, you know, always the ones that are caught in the crossfire in these types of conflicts.
Well, we can't get more serious than that. So here is Who Will Care for Those Who Are Broken by Bruce Nelson.
For those who are broken, who will help those left behind? Who will find the words unspoken to console the newly blind? Who will bind the wounds and bandage those who have lost a limb, a hand? Who will help those disadvantaged? Who will restore their fractured land? Who will feed the starving children? Who will condemn the reckless power of the government that keeps them in their crosshairs hour by hour? Who will share the endless bounty they've received through a twist of fate? Who will send a gift of money for supplies that cannot wait? Thank you. quiet comfort. Who will ignore the mother's plight as she sleeps beneath some plastic weather child through frozen night? Who will say it's not my problem? Why should I share what I've earned just because someone has chosen life where all is bombed and burned? Who, when called to meet their maker and asked, of what good were you, will with honesty and candor say, I did all I could do.
And that was Who Will Care for Those Who Are Broken by Bruce Nelson of Solon Springs. He's most famous on our show as the creator of our theme song, but you do perform to more than just our audience. Where can we hear you and find more of your music?
Well, actually, most of my performances these days are online with my YouTube channel, which is just Bruce W. Nelson. And on my channel, I do a couple of different characters, mostly Mangy Fetlocks, who the full name initially was Mangy Fetlocks, the quasi-intellectual existentialist cowboy.
Oh, say that name again. A little slower.
Mangy Fetlocks, the quasi-intellectual existentialist cowboy.
Okay.
So Mangy is fairly profound, or attempts to be, and comments on a lot of different aspects of life. And so that's kind of became a persona that I take on to do those videos. And it seems to have really caught on. People quite enjoy Mangy Fetlocks. The name for it came many years ago when I was teaching in Winona, Minnesota. We were talking about different types of music. And for some reason, I just told someone, I said, well, if I ever did country music of some time, I'm going to use the name Mangy Fetlocks. I said it was a combination of different things that I just liked. So I never knew that I'd actually be turning it into sort of a brand years later.
There's a recurring theme here of things that we never expected happening, yes.
Yes, exactly, which was really what makes life rather delightful at times, or tremendously burdensome, depending on the situation. But I've got other characters. I got a lounge singer named Larry Lazuli. There's a whole story behind Larry. He used to play the lounge circuit, you know, at hotels, lounges, with Larry Lazuli and the Lounge Lizards. That's kind of mysteriously, we don't know why, Larry lost his job and now he's on his own playing mostly bus terminals.
Okay. Well, speaking of venues, you're also the music director of Superior's Time Arc Theater, so we can hear your work there and perhaps see you.
Yes. A year and a half or so ago, we did a really fun original show written by Kathy Loxo, mm-hmm. Called You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. And I wrote all the music for that melodrama. And that was just great fun. But I also do the piano performance, accompany other singers when we do like a musical review and things like that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we featured selections from that show on the program 2 years ago. Here is a dramatic recitative with the characters of Malachi and Lily from You Can't Keep a Good Man Down by Bruce Nelson and Kathy Loxo.
He and your father share a watery grave. They both are gone, so that leads me to say, large inheritance. She doesn't realize the plans I have to spend the money from her dad. Oh no.
You are despicable.
I am despicable.
And that was a dramatic recitative from the Time Arc Theater production of You Can't Keep a Good Man Down, written by Kathy Loxo and our guest, Bruce Nelson. Where can we learn more about the Time Arc Theater, Bruce?
Actually, we have a website for Time Arc Theater Limited, or LLC, rather. So you can check that.
And Time Arc is T-I-M-E, capital A-R-C.
Yes.
Right. All right. We're going to end the show with the theme to Simply Superior in its entirety. We play snippets all throughout the show and pieces of it, and people may have been wondering, okay, what else? What are the rest of the lyrics? So we'll do that when we complete the entire show. Let's go out right now, though, to the Song of the Cat Herder. Tell us what that could possibly be about.
Actually, that was inspired by a television ad from Britain where, using computer-generated images, they show a whole group of cowboys that are herding cats across the prairie. I love that idea. It's a delightful ad, and these poor guys, you know, they're saying how nothing harder than bringing in a big herd of, like, short hairs, you know, across to the awaiting villagers, you know, or something. So actually, I wrote this when I was teaching elementary school. I had a lot of songs that I'd write just for my students. When I came back from working in Russia, I worked for 2 years at Little Iron River Elementary School, and I published 40-some songs in different collections, but this was in one of the kids' collections.
Right, and you mentioned Russia 2 times, so I should remind people who haven't memorized your biography that you spent many years teaching at the American school in Moscow, was it?
Yeah, I taught at the Anglo-American school, which is sadly closed now because of the pressures Putin put on the school.
I can only imagine, yes, right. And yeah. I can only imagine you have about 50 or 60 songs about it, right?
I wrote 80 just for my show, Notes from Moscow.
There you go. All right, we've been speaking with the man of 2,000 songs or more, Bruce Nelson of Solon Springs. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for immortalizing us in song, Bruce Nelson.
Well, thanks, Robin.
This song is based on traditional songs by American cat herders. Get along, little kitties, you're embarrassing me, 'cause I'm stuck herding cats on the lonesome prairie. Get along, little kitties, I'm driving you home. In the meantime, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, I don't need your cat pity. Though I hate the outdoors, I detest the big city. Get along, little kitties, you're making me cry. I got cat allergies, I got fur in my eye. I ain't sure where we're going, 'cause I can't see the trail. But for now, I'll just follow your tail. I'll follow your tail to the end of the prairie. Though the coyotes that howl there are pretty darn scary. Oh, jeez. Get along, little kitties, there's catnip ahead. And my favorite black sport coat you'll use as your bed. Get along, little kitties, I love when you purr. But I can't stand when you shed your fur. I hate all the fur that comes off when I pet you. When Christmas time comes, I know just what to get you. A lint brush. Get along, little kitties, you may think it's been fun, but I'm happy our trip's nearly done. I'm happy our trip's nearly done.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Danielle Kading of WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hello, Robin.
So, Danny, it seems like yesterday you handed the previous version of the show, Hear Me Out, over to me, but it's been 5 years somehow. What were our most memorable news stories since then?
Well, I don't think there's any question that President Joe Biden's visit to Superior, not just once, but twice in the last 5 years, is a pretty big deal for the region. And now I just want to add, you know, former President Donald Trump also visited Superior while on the campaign trail in 2016 and also Duluth during his presidency. So national leaders have definitely been taking more interest in the region. But Biden first came to UW-Superior in March of 2022 to tout the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law. And he highlighted the Blatnik Bridge connecting Duluth and Superior as one of more than 1,500 structures nationwide that could be repaired or updated because of aging infrastructure. And when he returned earlier this year, he spoke at Earth Rider Brewery and visited the base of that bridge as part of announcing roughly $1 billion under that law for the bridge's replacement.
Well, that clearly was number one or number one and a half with an asterisk for a few presidents coming around. What else comes to mind?
Well, one of the things that's top of mind for me is we've also, in the last 5 years, seen a lot of developments related to Superior's oil refinery in the wake of an explosion in 2018. Which caused a series of fires and injured 36 workers, as well as causing a temporary evacuation for city residents. And among those developments were findings that we were waiting for a long time to come to light as to what caused the explosion, which were delayed in part due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But if you recall, we released a report after reviewing almost 1,300 pages of documents from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration or federal labor regulators that shed light on what refinery officials knew regarding issues with equipment, including a valve that was tied to the explosion. And they found that that critical valve was malfunctioning days before the explosion, and they had documented erosion on that key piece of equipment dating as far back as 2008. And when the Chemical Safety Board finally released their findings, investigators said that the refinery failed to implement safeguards in part of its fluid catalytic cracking unit, which is used to make gasoline. And they also cited issues with the severely eroded slide valve that allowed air to flow into the rest of that unit, causing a flammable mixture that led to the explosion. And so after implementing a lot of changes and wrapping up a $1.2 billion rebuild of the refinery, the plant came back online last year under the ownership of Cenovus Energy.
Well, it's pretty hard to top that, but Rick, how about on the Minnesota side?
Well, the biggest story to affect both sides of the bridge and across the world has to be the COVID-19 pandemic. The Northland has often been described as a climate refuge, but it was no refuge from the devastating COVID-19 pandemic that affected every person, business, and activity where we call home. Started in early March 2020, the pandemic quickly led to closed schools, overly busy hospitals, workers retreating to their homes for work, and businesses trying to hold on. And we all wore masks nearly everywhere we went and tested for the illness whenever we got sick. Zoom meetings for businesses and schools became the norm. Restaurants offered takeout for hungry customers, and elected officials carried out the work of government remotely. Once the vaccine was produced, the harmful life-threatening effects of the pandemic lessened, but it wasn't until well into 2021 that life went back to normal, or what we now call the new normal. Not all workers returned to their cubicles as remote working remained popular. Slowly we returned to movie theaters and ballparks, but we also saw the value in staying home and streaming those events now more than ever. It's been 4 years now since COVID changed the world. We are back to business, but some parts of our lives will forever remain changed.
All right. Well, I think you hinted at this one, but your second place?
That would be weather. We went from one winter having the most snow ever in the Northland to the follow-up winter being very warm and not having much snow at all. The winter of 2023 was listed as the snowiest since records were kept going back to 1870. The loose seasonal snowfall in early April of 2023 was nearly 140 inches, and that easily topped the previous record of about 135 inches from the 1995-96 winter. It was a long winter, too, and that's an understatement. Duluth received its first measurable snowfall of 2 inches on October 14 of 2022, and it just kept coming for 6 months. Duluth had at least a trace of snow on the ground every day that season from November 11 of 2022, well into April. Duluth had as much as 37 inches of snow on the ground in March of 2023 and carried 32 inches into April, one of only four times in history that we've had that much snow on the ground in April. Duluth even topped Buffalo, New York in snowfall. But a year later, we were experiencing a record warm winter with precious little snow. Winter recreation industry officials bemoan the effect it had on ski resorts and trails. The Bear Grease was canceled, and Spirit Mountain, Mont du Lac, and Chester Bowl called an early end to their seasons. An El Nino year proved challenging for local businesses that typically bank on having lots of snow. Although others may have delighted in less shoveling, the crews of ski hills were hard at work laying down and grooming miles of human-made snow throughout the unseasonably warm winter. Despite their best efforts, the weather inevitably prompted an early end to the ski, tubing, and snowboard seasons.
All right. Well, how about something that humans could control?
Yes, elections. Roger Reinert became Duluth's newest mayor after defeating incumbent Emily Larson in November. The two longtime DFLers squared off against each other in a tightest mayoral race since Don Ness faced Charlie Bell in 2007. Despite running against an incumbent, Reinert emerged as a political favorite in the race after a strong primary performance in August, where he garnered 63% of the vote to Larson's 35%. Larson was able to narrow the gap a little bit in the general election in November, but Reinert still received 60% of the vote to her 40%. And the race will go down as Duluth's most expensive campaign to date, with spending almost up until the election at about $466,000. 53-year-old Reinert has a political career that dates back to 2004, when he was first appointed to the Duluth City Council to fill a vacancy left by newly elected Mayor Herb Berkson. His colleagues elected him to serve as council president in 2006 and 2008. In that same year, he successfully ran for the Minnesota House of Representatives. And in 2010, Reinert was elected to the Minnesota Senate, where he served two terms. Reinert is an attorney and commander in the U.S. Navy Reserve as well. 50-year-old Larson was seeking her third term as mayor of Duluth. Her political career started in 2011 when she emerged as a top vote getter in the Duluth City Council at large race. And in 2015, she was elected mayor, succeeding Don Ness in that role. Larson handily won two previous races, receiving 72% of the vote against Chuck Horton in 2015 and nearly 64% of the vote against David Knoll in 2019.
All right. We've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org. That isn't changing. And DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this final edition of Simply Superior. Along with Danny and Rick, we'd like to thank the many news contributors who've been a part of the show, including Maria Lockwood, Shelley Nelson, Brooks Johnson, Pam Langley, Krista Lawler, Melinda Levine, Shalon Monroe, and Rusty Melberg, and all of their news organizations. Over the years, we'd received production help from Tammy Garcia, Allison Wade, Dawn Jewell, Kate Springer, and Joy Ratch-Kramer. John Talcott and Elliot Swear were among our engineering crew, and executive producers have been Paul Damberg and Ezra Wall. And we leave you with what is undoubtedly the most recognizable artifact from the show, the Simply Superior theme song, written and performed by Bruce Nelson. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone, and I'll see you on Morning Edition.
Simply Superior news and issues from a superior point of view. Gather to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear. By sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and want to hear. superior news and issues from a superior point of view. Gathered to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear by sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and